We visit here once or twice a year for those that may be new. And for those that aren't new, it's nice to see you again and such a pleasure. I always like the way that you have series that go on, and I've always been able to fit into that series quite well. I have a passionate and a love for the Word of God and like to be able to share with you probably my own unique insights. And that's the beauty of what I've always done in ministry. I find that the Lord has always given me some kind of a unique way, unique interpretation. That's how God's wired me, and we look at it to that end. And today we are looking at the scriptures that are talking about a very, very interesting passage that, as you will see, where David had an opportunity to literally take the kingship completely. But he could have done it, but he didn't. What we're going to be doing today is talking with you a real comparative between the man King Saul and the man King David. For those that know me, you know that I do a fair amount of training in the context of behavioral studies. I do it both in church and business, having pastored for 25 years, brought up in a pastor's home. Right from a kid, I've always wanted to know the whys of people. Why does this person do that? Why does that person respond that way? And of course, from the human perspective, I understand all sorts of components from that realm. But because I've been brought up in a pastor's home and because I've pastored for so long, I always have to ask that question from the spiritual component and the spiritual realm as well. I like the line that has been stated, and it really puts things into perspective. And the person that made it popular was Stephen Covey, but it actually came from a Jesuit priest in its original form. When he made a line that said this, we are not humans on a human journey. We are human beings on a spiritual journey. We are human beings on a spiritual journey. No, we're spiritual beings on a human journey. And there's a big difference in that. It depends how you promote life. Depends how you're going to live your life. Do you think that you're just a human being and then all of a sudden this whole spiritual realm opens up? That's the way we live life many times. But the reality is that God created us as spiritual beings. And us as spiritual beings have been given a season in life, a breath of air, a shortness as a puff of steam, in the context of all of that, to live out our humanity. I give you that illustration because it's very clear that that is what is going on in this text we're talking today. Saul was a man that was on a human journey that fit in the spiritual part when it was convenient to him. But David was a person that all his life was on a spiritual journey and allowed the Almighty to flow through him to have an impact on the human. The scripture for today, as we look at it, is really a long text, and I'm not going to read it all because it's 10 chapters. It starts at verse chapter 21 and goes to 31. But what I am going to do, I'm going to read a few verses out of 1 Samuel 24. We're going to read about 12 verses there and add one more to it. And this will give you the context of the story that we're talking about today. And the context of the story is this, chapter 24, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now it happened when Saul had turned from following the Philistines that he was told, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, and there was a cave. And Saul went to attend to his needs, and David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord, this is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as he seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servant with these words and did not allow them to rise up against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards, went out of the cave, and called out to Saul, saying, "My lord, the king." And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, "Why do you listen to the words of men who say, 'Indeed, David seeks your harm'? Look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eye spared you, and I said, 'I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed.' Moreover, my father, see, you see the corner of your robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. No one see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. I have not sinned against you, yet you hunt my life to take it." Jumping forward to verse 20, it says, with Saul responding, "And now I know indeed that you shall surely be the king, and the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hand." Lord, bless this word to our hearts, we pray. And I ask, Lord, that your anointing would be here, and that the truth of Jesus would speak into our hearts this day. In thy name we pray. Amen. As I was given this message, the prompt for the message was this. Because the title was David, the Inopportunist. But I'm reframing the title to say this: David, the Absolute Opportunist. We have read the scriptures. I'm going to be talking about several scriptures in this, but the prompt for this message says David has an odd sense of timing. Throughout 1 Samuel 21 to 31, there are two kings in Israel. When David is not fighting the Philistines, he's pretty sure King Saul is going to stab him in the back. And when he gets his chance to literally stab Saul in the back, and there is some speculation, looking after his needs, that he'd actually gone into the cave to go to the washroom, which is sort of a funny way to put it. He waits. He does not take that opportunity to kill King Saul. The questions are this: is this just a shy trigger finger? To which I say, no. Is David being a goody two-shoes? To which I say, no. Is vindication rather vendetta possible when family fights get ugly? Well, I'm not too certain about that, but here's where I would like to go with this, and it's the last part. We're getting close here. What does it mean for us to have a sense of God's timing and God's justice? Because this story really is about God's timing and God's justice, and not get back time. Getting rid of the one that in self-defense I got rid of him because he was trying to kill me. And I don't know if in the news you've been watching that case down in Florida where Zimmerman murdered a young black fellow. And he was claiming self-defense, and of course all the riling got up because he was put off innocent. This is not a self-defense issue here. David is really wanting to talk something about this matter of what is right and what is wrong, and that's what's making him the absolute opportunist. But I guess it depends from what perspective you're coming from. With that, I've found this little bit of humor on on my Facebook page that I thought kindly speaks to this to give us an idea that there's two ways of seeing things. And it looks like this. One person's on an island yelling out, "A boat! A boat!" And the fella in the boat is yelling out, "Land! Land!" You see, it depends where you're looking at to find out what the benefit is, when in reality, neither is going to help either here. The good thing about the story that we're looking at is that it's not a matter of neither helping neither, but there is a lesson to be learned, a lesson that every single one of us needs to learn, and it's reflecting back to this matter that every single one of us are on a spiritual journey, and the spiritual journeys that we're on have an impact in the way we live out our faith. What are we going to do with it? I'm sure, just like David, you have enemies. You probably have people that don't like you. You probably have family members that get in the way. There's probably some people you just maybe not want to kill, but you want to wring their neck. And it's like somebody said to Billy Graham's wife, do you ever want to divorce him? And she said, no, not divorce him. Murder maybe, but not divorce him. And when we begin to look at that here, it's just a matter of looking at these things here to recognize what are the perspectives that we would like to take with this. Well, when we're looking at it, this behavioral study, we're looking at Saul's behaviors versus David's behaviors. We're looking at God's timing with Saul versus God's timing with David. We're looking at God's justice with Saul and God's justice with David. And you have to note these things that are absolutely true. Both were fit to be king in their own right. Absolutely. Saul was strong in stature, had won battles, and was a very, very powerful leader. But David was a king in his own right. He was able to take down much of the enemy, and so they were equal there. Both were anointed as king. We know that Samuel anointed Saul, but we also know that Samuel anointed David. And he was getting his directives from God on what to do. So both of them were anointed as king. God's justice with Saul was there. And God's justice was there with David as well. When you begin to see how the Lord played out the two different justice systems, Saul had this matter of justice when it came, I've got to win and I've got to make sure that this young uppity doesn't come along and cut me off. Meanwhile, we see David's justice as I fully understand that I cannot kill Saul because that would be wrong in the eyes of God. So as we begin to look this through, what are our perspectives? How will we begin to look at it? Well, let's look first of all at this point. Saul was the people's choice, but David's was God's choice. If you're familiar with 1 Samuel at all and have read any length of it, you know that when you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 8, Israel felt that they were different than everybody else. They said, that country has a king, that country has a king, that country has a king. We don't have a king. All we've got is a prophet or judge. And they didn't like that. And so what they did is they screamed out, we want a king, we want a king. And they went to Samuel with this. But Samuel knew that that wasn't what God wanted for them. But the people of Israel pushed so hard that in Samuel's dialogue with God, God said, okay, if that's what they want, give it to them. And we find there's another scripture says that the Lord gave them the desires of their heart, but to Israel he gave leanness to their soul. So yes, you can push God to do exactly what you want, but it may not be the very best for you. As we begin to understand that proved to be true in Israel as we read that through, because only a few chapters later, in chapter 13, five chapters later, we read this, and Samuel said to Saul, because what Samuel did, Samuel didn't get there in time for Saul, and Saul, being an impatient man, thought they needed a sacrifice before they went to war. So rather than wait for Samuel to come and do the sacrifice, Saul just did it himself. And then Samuel, after that was done, just showed up and says, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not